everyone. Welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. We've got Tony back. Rick's with me as well today. Gentlemen, we got some fun news to cover. So we're going to start with how North Korea infiltrated the crypto industry. And I think this was the one found a quote that was interesting. Yeah, it was the percentage of your incoming resumes or people asking for jobs or wanting to contribute to any of that stuff. It's likely greater than 50% of North Koreans across the entire crypto industry. So these crypto blockchain companies have been hiring remotely and inadvertently, it appears, based on a CoinDesk investigation, hiring a lot of North Koreans. Rick, why don't you you start this one off? I think you looked into this a little bit. What are your reactions?
Sure. Yeah, this it's an interesting story, right? Like fascinating stuff. This story has been bubbling for a couple of months now, and it all came about because this online investigator that's pretty famous in Bitcoin circles called Zach XBT. If you don't follow him, you really should on Twitter, because the stuff this guy reveals honestly will really cook your noodle. He is the blockchain sleuth to end all blockchain sleuths, right? If you're up to no good, you definitely don't want Zach XBT on your tail, because this guy's got some crazy skills. But anyway, the story goes a little something like this. You know, Zach, I think, identified a few blockchain addresses that were associated with the North Korean regime, and then suggested that, you know, quite a few payments that were going towards the North Korean regime were coming from known blockchain or blockchain IT workers and stuff like that. And just started to, as he does, you know, put all these little breadcrumbs together and start to paint a picture. He didn't name any crypto projects or blockchains at the time, but then CoinDesk, which is the story you were looking at there, that I encourage people to read, actually, it's fascinating. Well, they went and did like a deeper dive and started really digging into the details. And at first, a lot of these crypto companies would keep things fairly quiet, right? Because it's not great for your reputation, and maybe you feel a bit silly if you've been conned like this. But eventually, once they realized all this information is coming out, they started coming clean and saying, well, like you referred to in the story, something like 50% of all the resumes they get are coming out of North Korea. These guys are using fake IDs, fake work histories, or sometimes like they've got like really good GitHub repositories, so they look like great employees. And most of the time they're not necessarily hackers, right? A lot of it is that, you know, there's so many sanctions on North Korea, it's difficult for them as a nation to sort of earn money. So these guys, they get a job paid in, you know, with a decent salary, right? Like a US based salary type of thing, right? And then 90% of their wages get taken by the North Korean government, and they keep 10%. But there was in that story something that jumped out at me that was fascinating, because I mean, I know you guys and myself included, we're Bitcoin only. So you might not know that much about this protocol, but you might have heard of SushiSwap. It was huge, I think, like a cycle ago. I think it's kind of dead now, right? I don't hear people talking about it. But apparently they got hacked. One of their projects got hacked for like $3 million. And apparently they can link that back to a couple of people that they hired from North Korea and all this sort of stuff. So it's pretty wild, because it's illegal to hire anyone from North Korea if you're based in the US, and it's against UN sanctions. And apparently you're meant to get in trouble whether you know about it or not. So who knows? But I guess the moral of the story is, like, don't mess around with shit coins. And if you are a Bitcoin company, like, maybe meet the people you're hiring if you can. Yeah, crazy stuff.
No kidding, Tony.
Well, I mean, this isn't new, you know. Like, I mean, people posing as I don't like to use the word posing, but, you know, I mean, what's a hacker? A hacker essentially is someone with very good computer skills, so they can use them for both good and can use them for bad. But at some point, all these hackers have to eat as well, and, you know, if there's no project for them to work on, well, they need a job, and so of course they're going to go out onto the market and, you know, put out their skill set for companies to hire them. Now, most companies, you know, are not going to go and do some extremely deep analysis on people that they hire, because they need them relatively quickly to go in, do the job at hand, and, you know, life goes on. The reason why there's so much attention to this space now as well, you know, because, you know, the world's falling apart, you know, crypto is a big deal, Bitcoin is on all over the headlines, hacks left and right, you know, like it's buzz news. And so there's a lot more attention placed on it. But this is something that's extremely hard to prevent. Because like I said, hackers can be anyone, can be you, me, and anyone just posing, you know, like using their skills for good rather than something stupid. And so to prevent this, I mean, unless you go and do some exhaustive research, which is very time consuming and costly for this company, it's unlikely to subside. And now, you know, with AI, you know, on your side, you know, improving your skills, you know, posing information that's maybe not be real, but looks more real, you know, that's also a bigger problem to overcome. At the end of the day, it's really luck of the draw. I mean, you can use some of your intuition to talk to people. I mean, unless you have good tech skills to begin with, it's very hard to know if someone is who they claim to be. Because if you're hiring someone, let's say for database development, and you just happen to get into a conversation and you mention a few services and products that have nothing to do with database development, but rather, you know, for related to other realms of, you know, the hacking world, and they happen to know a lot about it, well, you know, that should raise like a little red flag. So how, you know, you're just a database developer, supposedly. How do you know so much about this other stuff? That's usually, you know, where you can sort of put the pieces together. But again, you have to be someone that already knows about this to begin with to pose these questions in a very casual conversation to sort of like, you know, paint a profile of that individual if you suspect something, which most people do not. So, yeah, man, this is an interesting story that happened. And again, you know, these companies are all, when they discover these things, they're often embarrassed to come out and say so that, you know, oops, you know, we made a mistake. But, you know, nothing you can do about this, in my opinion, other than just do your best and hope for the best.
Yeah, my takeaway here is if you're not already Bitcoin only, study Bitcoin harder and understand why Bitcoin only. There are reputable full reserve exchanges out there where you can buy your Bitcoin, then get it into self-custody. And nothing that we've talked about for the last 5 or 6 minutes will affect you. So keep that in mind if you're not already doing that. Alrighty, up next, we've got close to home for us. Who owns your shiny new Pixel 9 phone? You can't say no to Google's surveillance. And the long story short is if you're using Android, there's a lot of surveillance. Probably you already knew that. Most people don't know, I think, probably the extent to which they're being watched. And even if they did, I think a lot of people are just apathetic to it. But Tony, why don't you kick this one off? Because we obviously encourage our clients to use, you know, a Google Pixel phone, but in a very, very different manner. Why don't you sort of give your thoughts and explain the difference between what we're doing and what an out-of-the-box Google Pixel's like?
Yeah, of course. I mean, right now you have to assume that all big tech has sold everybody out. I mean, these are cool phones, you know, sold with distracting marketing tactics, but essentially these are spy devices. Everything about them is built for surveillance. Okay. Like let's not kid ourselves here, which is why, you know, they're very hard to repair with regards to an iPhone. For example, you know, you can turn it off, but it's still on. And all these other phones, they're spy devices, you know, with the guise of a smartphone. Except now it's gone so extreme that I don't think they're trying to hide it anymore. So when you buy a Google Pixel, the phone devices are already extracting your data without you even using it for anything. Okay. So you have to be very careful about this, but most people aren't because they're not techies. And so they just want a phone and they want to go out and buy, you know, the next best thing. And they read about, you know, whether it's an iPhone and an Android, what's the best model out there for my budget. They go out and buy it and life goes on and they go off and show it off to their friends, not knowing what's actually happening in the background. So in order to get around this, well, first of all, you have to be aware that this is going on and there are options. So if in the case of the Google Pixel, fortunately, you can wipe out the stock operating system that comes with it and replace it with a fully 100% open source de-Googled system that cannot be, you know, be traced or spied on. And so it locks down the phone on many levels. But it requires a little bit of learning new skills. And, you know, this is what we do, you know, at the Bitcoin Way with our de-Google phone service is that we take you through that entire process. You buy the phone, we nuke it completely. There's no trace of its stock operating system on it. We install a fully open source, fully private system on it. And we lock that down even further and show you how to use it. in terms of the apps that you can download on this device, they're identical to what you've been accustomed to doing, whether it's an iPhone or an Android, with the exception that there is no identification of yours attached to any of the stores, not an App Store, not a Google Store, none of it. You're just using the apps, which are fully sandboxed, meaning that the apps themselves don't know what other apps you have on the phone. They cannot communicate with one another. There's no behind-the-scenes data extraction happening. You're fully off the grid in that sense. And you can even go as far as, you know, adopting an anonymous SIM card that works globally. There's no ID of yours attached to it. So it's impossible to get SIM swapped. So you're automatically protected from that, you know, headache as well. And but, you know, it starts with awareness. And so a lot more education needs to be, you know, pumped out, alluding to this. And a lot more people need to care, you know, like some people might just not care. Well, I don't care if they spy and they have nothing to hide, you know, until the one day comes where something about them is online or affects them in a really bad way. And then they're like, ah, shit, you know, like, what's going on? Well, you know, we told you this is what's going on. You chose to ignore it. And now you're going to pay the price for it.
Yeah, Rick, did you have anything you'd want to add to that?
Not really, other than, like, you know, Tony knows all this from a sort of technical point of view, but maybe I can help our audience sort of understand it from just like a more basic point of view, which is when you read that story that you sent, Michael, like the things that it's sending are crazy, right? So I noted some of them down. So every 15 minutes, this phone sends a data packet that contains your email, your location, your number, and your network stats and all this sort of stuff. And even if you turn the GPS off, it still sends location data and it takes a kind of approximate guess at where you are based on like local Wi-Fi networks, right? So like if this phone is on your person, right, GPS or no GPS, like Google knows where you are, right? And then the thing I think that was particularly interesting about this article, which I believe is new to the latest Pixels, is they're saying that, you know, this phone constantly periodically attempts to download like new software or updates, right? And it sort of suggests that Google has this like remote control capability to change anything that they want on your phone. So, hey, look, you know, this is a risk, right? You have no control. The question really is whose phone is this? I know you paid $600 for $1,000, whatever you paid Google for the phone, but it kind of seems like it's still their phone. They can install whatever they want. They can extract whatever data they want. And then the last thing that was pretty scary in that story was that, you know, without giving consent, it was like linking to their face grouping technology, which is like a way that they, you know, if you take a photo of someone's face, it will analyze it and then try and look through your other photos to match it. And then it's trying to be helpful in some ways, right? Like group all, you know, if I've got 10 pictures of Tony, it'll put them all in a folder if I want to look at pictures of Tony and stuff, right? Which, you know, I can see that, yeah, you got family photos, you know, that might be pretty useful. But you know, this is basically facial recognition software, and this is all getting fed into databases owned by Google. You know, it never asked you if you wanted to do that. So, you know, you're taking pictures of your family, you know, your son, your daughter, and all of this stuff's going into this huge big database that Google own, and they're able to identify everyone you know through the pictures that you take. So, yeah, it's pretty spooky stuff. And I think, like, look, you know, a couple of years ago, privacy phones, I'd kind of heard of them, right? And I was kind of interested, but you kind of think, oh, well, you know, maybe that's for people who are really techie or really have something like serious to hide, or, you know, they're people of particular interest. But you read this sort of stuff and you think, my God, you have no privacy, like none whatsoever. So yeah, privacy phones, you know, rather than being this thing just for, you know, techies like Tony, I think more and more they're becoming like, everyone should be running a privacy phone. So yeah, a good wake-up call.
Yeah, we live in a day and age where we can benefit from the hardware, the camera, the specs, and but you don't have to compromise on the security. There's always these open source options and capabilities that extend you know, beyond the reach of Google or Apple or whoever it might be. So if you're using a normal phone, be aware and just understand what it is that you're compromising on, and maybe call the Bitcoin way and we can talk to you about a privacy phone setup. Hey, just a quick break from Bitcoin Banter, and we will be right back. Wanted to tell you to go over to the bitcoinway.com/podcast, where you can schedule a free 30-minute consult with a member of our team. We can talk you through how we help you do proper 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. We help with online privacy. We can even help you set up a privacy phone. And we have a Plan B residency to citizenship option for you for all of your self-sovereign needs. You got to go check out the Bitcoin Way. Again, that's the bitcoinway.com/podcast. We hope to see you soon. All righty. Up next, we've got a Lego coin scam. So I guess what happened was that a banner on the Lego website, the website was hijacked, and it was a link to like this Lego coin. My whole takeaway from the article was that they put a Bitcoin logo in here as though Bitcoin had something to do with this crypto nonsense. But that isn't really the point here. Tony, what are your thoughts on this?
This is expected, man. I've been warning about this for a while now, that as the attention to Bitcoin and just crypto in general continues to grow, while the attempts to steal it and scam people are just going to grow along with it. Most people are not tech people. Okay, so all this entire world of cryptography, Bitcoin, crypto in general, is like a brand new language that no one knows anything about, or a very few percentage of the population know about. But everybody is attracted to the money factor that is associated to it. So these hackers, these scammers, they know this. So what do you do when you have a world of ignorant people that are bound with one commonality, greed for money? Well, then you try to trick these fools into giving you, you know, as much of their money as possible. And this is exactly what's happening. And they're targeting innocent brands, you know, like Lego. Lego was mostly for, it's a family-friendly brand, extremely popular over the years. I had them as a kid. Everybody loves Lego. There's no danger. So, you know, you put this and people assume, oh, wow, look, Lego's now getting into Bitcoin. Should be cool. And they go click on a link and, you know, they're led to some website where they have to give up some information or pay money. And then, boom, oh, my money's gone. What happened? Well, you know, you got scammed. And this is going to continue to get worse, unfortunately, because, you know, the hunger for money, the greed for money is part of human nature, and that's not going to subside. So how do you fight this? Well, most people are going to be forced to improve their tech skills, unfortunately, because now we live in a tech world. There's no way around this. So either you improve your ability to detect these things, or you continue to get scammed until, you know, you finally learn. AI doesn't help, because, you know, you can whip up a project within literally minutes that looks insanely authentic. I wouldn't be surprised one day, I don't know, if Apple Coin comes out, you know, or some other famous brand comes out and people click on it thinking it's something, but it's not. Unfortunately, it tarnishes the brand, you know, like Bitcoin is the most honest money, hardest money, best asset the world has ever known. But then these assholes do this, and the general population, which know nothing, in their heads now associate, oh, look, Bitcoin is a scam coin, right? And so it delays the adoption process, because, you know, people who know nothing, you know, are reacting based on their experience, which was extremely horrible. And so it's a constant tug of war. You know, you have to put out the right education, and, you know, people are going to have to learn it one way or another. Sadly, most of them will learn it after they get, you know, rug pulled or scammed. But eventually we'll get there. So it is what it is. Just be careful out there. And if you have questions, just ask someone that you know that may have better technical skills than you have. But ask, you know, don't just stay quiet because you're embarrassed. Yes, I know it sucks to lose money and to be scammed. But, if you don't take the measures to prevent that from happening again, it will continue to do so, you know, until you do wake up.
Sure. Rick?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, right? I mean, I think like Tony says, they'll target brands like Lego, because Lego's got an amazing brand, right? Like, you know, all over the world, everybody loves Lego. It's really wholesome. It's family orientated. It feels nice and safe. And they've probably got more brand equity than most brands, right? Like, people genuinely love Lego. And when you looked at like the little image on their website, like, I don't know, whatever the hackers had managed to do when they got into the website is like they changed the hero banner image, and it all looked pretty slick, right? It looked pretty professional. So you can see why people would like quite easily fall for it. I mean, there is one group of people who you can guarantee would never fall for a Lego coin scam, and that would be a Bitcoin maximalist, right? Someone who's already done the work that, we'll put it this way, right? If I landed on that web page, I wouldn't even need to find out if it's a scam or not, because it's a, even if it's a Lego coin, it's a shit coin. So I guess one point is, even if the Lego coin itself was legitimate and Lego had launched a coin and it was real, it would still be a really, really bad idea to buy it, right? Because we know that altcoins just don't make any sense. So maybe the first thing to say is, focus on where the real value is, right? If you haven't done hundreds of hours of research into Bitcoin yet, then that's the best investment of your time. And scammers, look, you're way more likely to get scammed if you're greedy or desperate, right? That's just the truth of it, right? Like, I can't remember the saying very well, but there's one in the UK that says you can never con an honest John, right? Which is, if you've just got like a normal guy who's just living his life out and isn't a greedy person, it's very difficult to scam them. But if someone's desperate, wants to make a quick buck, then it becomes really easy to do so, right? And then the next thing is like, yeah, you've got to keep your wits about you now, right? Like Tony says, like Apple Coin, someone's going to launch that, right? I think there's like Trump coins, and then this HBO special's coming out. I think is it this week, next week, that says they're going to reveal who Satoshi is, and now there's gambling markets betting again on who that might be, and then I think everyone's favorite at the moment is this old this guy called Len Sasserman. So now there's Sasserman coin and all this stuff, and look. This is going to be endless. Like this cycle is going to be full of shit coins. Maybe the next cycle after that will be as well, because the shit coining and the scamming will continue until we've reached a point that everybody understands Bitcoin. And I think probably we're still a fair way away from that, right? Like 1-2% of the population. So expect the scams to continue. Stick to Bitcoin and don't trust any brand or any scam coin, right? Just swerve away from it. If it's not Bitcoin, you're wasting your time, whether it's real or not.
Well said. All righty, guys. Last one, just for fun here. I couldn't verify the story, but it's a good one. Someone needs to get fired. A Target shopper ordered 3 banking and finance books online, and they were sent the Bitcoin standard. I think the Bitcoiner of the Week award goes to whoever this worker was at Target packing the boxes. What do you think, Tony?
Absolute brilliant prank. I mean, this guy's a hero. I mean, you need more people like this guy, with the cojones to pull a move like this, just to send out the message and see where it lands. Hopefully, it has the right effect on whoever receives it. Why not? There's nothing more to comment except that it was absolutely brilliant. It's almost like the guy, behind Janet Yellen when she was doing that conference and he had that sign, buy Bitcoin. You need more people like that just to pull these pranks. First of all, it's funny, so people will remember it. But, subconsciously, it also delivers the message, the intended message. So whoever you are, man, kudos to you. Keep doing what you're doing. I love it.
The sad thing is that the shopper who thinks they ought to get fired, they're going to be pissed off in 10 years when they're like, I should have read the Bitcoin
Yeah, of
standard. Like,
course.
that's the story that we aren't going to get to see, or they're going to be telling their grandkids, yeah, someone sent me the Bitcoin standard. I didn't read it. It's like that meme. Rick, what do you think?
Well, yeah, I just a great story, right? Like, really funny. Like, either someone's got a great sense of humor and made up that story, which is brilliant. But you know what? Having been in Bitcoin for like 10 years, like, that's not even a crit. Like, I've seen so much crazy stuff. But yeah, I don't know. Something in my gut tells me this probably did happen. And knowing Bitcoiners as well, right? Like, we're all a little bit cantankerous. We're all, kind of do our own thing, maybe a little bit non-compliant, a bit cheeky, think for ourselves. So can I imagine a Bitcoiner working in a Target somewhere thinking this was the best idea ever and he can't wait to post about it on Twitter? Absolutely. Yeah, I'd put money on that probably of actually happening. Yeah.
I love it. All righty, guys, that's a good place to wrap up. For anyone listening, thank you so much for tuning in. We talked about privacy phones. Reach out to the Bitcoin Way if you are interested. It is more and more important every day. You can go to thebitcoinway.com/podcast. Your phone isn't your only point of exposure, though. You've got your online privacy more generally. We help with that. We have Plan B. Actually, Tony's in Panama right now, onboarding a client to a Plan B residency in Panama. And of course, our bread and butter, we love helping people take full self-custody of their Bitcoin. No compromises. We can do that as well. So go to thebitcoinway.com/podcast. We'd love to talk with you and explain our services in more detail. Gentlemen, thank you for the time. Looking forward to catching up again soon.
Thank you, Michael.
Thanks,
It's been
Michael.
great.
Cheers, guys.